Hi, this is Julie Wong with my commentary on pages 462 to 464 of Marisha Pessl's Special Topics in Calamity Physics. I chose this passage because I found Gareth Van Meer to be one of the most intriguing characters in the book, and I think that Pessl especially reveals her brilliance in writing scenes through which Gareth unknowingly undercuts himself in his pedantic rants. Not only does this section deal with very big themes that are prominent throughout the novel, but it is a perfect example of Gareth subverting himself. When he says of Hannah, "Such people wish to be bigger than they actually are," through concocting madcap theories, he's insulting himself more than he's insulting Hannah, because it is he, not she, who is the one constantly gurgling theories in quotes. Similarly, when he says, "talk is cheap," it further undercuts everything upon which he supposedly bases his life: theories, discussion, and academia. This actually ties in pretty nicely to the juxtaposition of theory versus practice, a main theme throughout the book. Since talk can be perceived to be academic ideas and concepts, the fact that Gareth poses "talk is cheap" as a question and not a statement highlights one of the big questions that Pessl, Blue, and the book posits: how practical is academic theory? Throughout the novel, Blue invokes academic knowledge, mainly through books, quotes, and many from her dad, to help her deal with life. But how effective are these in the real world? And as one of the reviews asks, who's to say that any one of these academic authorities has more control over or relevance to your life than yourself or others immediately around you? And if talk is indeed cheap, how come Pessl and Blue choose to organize this book in the format of an academic syllabus? Are they hurling the cannon back at us? And if so, why? Further in the scene, where she is literally bombarding her dad with the Western canon, as Gareth says, Blue reverses Gareth's figurative bombardment of her with the Western canon, and with his strong and overriding personality. The scene is one of the pivotal shifts in Blue's perception of her father. For once, she describes him in more human terms, with attention to his wrinkles, his tears, and the bead-like drop of blood. This is one of the first instances where Gareth is vulnerable to his daughter, physically and metaphorically under siege. Through this scene, we realize that Blue's earlier representations of her father as a benevolent, omnipotent, godlike figure of knowledge is extremely skewed. At this point, we find more proof that Blue's narrative is reliably unreliable. Everything we receive is mediated by an easily fooled teenager. What adds to the intrigue of this section is the fact that, as we later realize, everything Gareth says to Blue here is a lie. Did you, like Blue, believe what he told her? I think this is interesting because those readers who bought the story are placed squarely in the shoes of Blue, and by being duped along with her, we not only build further camaraderie with the character, but we demonstrate the power of another theme that runs through the whole book: the attractiveness and appeal of lies. Throughout the novel, figures of deception, Hannah Schneider and Gareth Van Meer, are described as beautiful and charismatic people who constantly draw others to them. Meanwhile, characters like Blue, who represent truth, or true blue, if you will, are constantly isolated, and as Gareth describes on page 463, stand in a long black dress in the corner, feet together, head down, the loneliest girl in the room. Why is it that no one wants anything to do with truth? Do you think it is in fact true that everyone prefers to dance with something a little sexier, a little more comforting? What sort of message is Pessl attempting to convey on this topic, especially since at the end we still don't know what truth is? Do you, like Megan O'Rourke, think that the final exam ending, which puts everything to doubt, is precocious realism's immature cop-out? Why or why not? It's also important for us to pay attention to the title of the chapter. One of the main themes of Kafka's The Trial is the alienation of the individual, which ties to Blue's and Truth's alienation. A second Kafka-esque theme from The Trial is the inevitability of one's fate. This is a recurring question in Pessl's book. How inevitable are the events of the book and of Blue's life? Is calamity really guarded by unbending, unchangeable laws of physics, or do we at least have some control? Lastly, a third theme from The Trial is bureaucracy of the church and the state. Pessl invokes this idea through Gareth's action on page 462, where he puts his hand in perfect, "this is the church, this is the steeple architecture." What do you think Pessl is attempting to tell us about our capitalist, corporate-driven society through the philosophy of the Night Watchman? One passage that might be interesting for us to look at in class is the discussion of causes on page 454. Along a different line, however, can we interpret the father-daughter relationship as bureaucratic? This scene might be particularly useful in doing so because here the father manipulates a representation of his fatherly duty to hide the truth and serve his own interests. How do the power dynamics function, and what, if anything, does Kafka's The Trial contribute to our reading? Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to discussing this and much more with you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday evening.